Are here after the Mishnah on Daf Samachay Omer Aleph. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa based on a pasuk in Vayikra Aleph Tesvav. It says, "Vekrivo Hakohen El Hamizbeach Umalakes Rosho Viktir Hamizbecha." V'nimtza damo al kira mizbeach. We're going to derive from this pasuk the dinim of olas ha'ov. So the Braisa says, v'krivo ma talmud lomar. The opening word in the pasuk, what does it teach us? V'krivo. Lefisha kvar nemar, in the pasuk right before this, we're looking at pasuk tesvav. In pasuk yudalit it says, v'im min ha'ov ola. Karbanol Hashem, v'kriv min atorim o min b'nei hayono. Es karbano. And the Torah didn't have to write again a second time, she'akrivu. The word v'krivo is completely superfluous because we're talking about v'hikriv min atorim o min b'nei yonah. So why does it again have to say v'hikrivo hakohen al mizbeach a second time around? And the answer is sheyachol. I would have thought shamisnadev of, if a person takes upon himself a nedava to bring an of, lo yifchos mishnei predim, it shouldn't be less than two birds. And the reason for that is because it says in the Pasuk Shnei B'nei Yono, Shnei Torim, Tamalom Vikrivo, Beloshen Yachid, Afilu Preda Achas Yavi. So again, in this Hava Mina, we would have thought that in a dova of an oaf, bestoma, unless he stipulates otherwise explicitly, we assume he means two birds, because the parsha of olas oaf refers to two birds. Kamashmal on the word v'ikrivo is coming to teach me that he only has to bring one bird, afilu, pray the achas yovi v'dayu, and that's enough. Then the Braisa goes on to derive halachas about Malika. Number one, v'krivo kohen el hamizbeach. Why couldn't it just say v'krivo el hamizbeach? What's the emphasis on the word akohen? Ma talmud lomar akohen. Likvalo kohen. That means Malika requires a kohen. It's not like shchita in Zvachim, where even a zar is kosher for shchita. Yochol valodinu, I could have derived the kavachomer to conclude that I don't need a kohen. And what is the basis of that kavachomer? Uma ben tzon. In other words, in the case of a korban that comes from a behema, shekavalot tzofon, the Torah is very makpid, and it requires that the shechita take place in the tzofon. Yet, nevertheless, a zar is kosher lo kavalot kohen. Is of shalo kavalot tzafon. In the case of of, the Torah was not so demanding and so strict, and there's no requirement of tzafon. Is therefore eno din shalo yikvalo kohen. We would have come to the conclusion that if a zar is kosher for shchitas behema, then how much more so he should be kosher for shchitas ha'of. In shchitas behema, there's a requirement of tzafon, and that requirement of tzafon, does that apply in the case of a bird? Is Talmud Lomar v'krivo ha'kohen alam izbech l'kvo lo kohen b'malikaso. Now, we're talking here about olas ha'of. Olas ha'of is something that's implemented on Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. And Rabbi Yossi, back on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, says that Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach has the same status as Tzofon. So this whole kavachomer falls apart here, according to Rabbi Yossi, because the oaf is also kavalo makom b'tzofon. Furthermore, according to the man, the Omer, who says that the Mizbeach was Bitzofon, we could also reject this Kal V'chom because the Olas Ha'of is done Bitzofon al Rosh Hashem Mizbeach. So I have here a note in the name of Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky that even though the Malika itself is the Torah's Koveh Mokom Barosh Hashem Mizbeach, but that's not the Kviyas Mokom for the Oaf itself. That's a Kviyas Mokom for the Amida, for the standing of the Molek. And he could do the Malika even in that Amma, which is underneath the Sovev, and even in a place where there's no Yesod, there's not even Aver HaMizbeach at that point. In the case of Tzofon and Shechita and Behemoth, that's a din in the carbon itself that it needs Tzofon. The Brisa continues and says the following, Yochal, I might think, Yimlekenu, Besakin, it would make sense that Malika, in the case of Oph, would require its a knife, just instead of a Tziporin Shel Kohen, Vidinu, and what's the logic for that again? A Kal V'chomer, that Malika should require Sakin, Ma'im Shechita, Shelo Kavalo Kohen. In the case of Shechita, the Torah is Mekil, and even as Zahar is Koshel Shechita, and yet Kavalo Kli, the Torah requires, as we're going to see later on, that the Shechita has to be with a Kli, is Malika. Shekavalo Kohen, the Torah is even more demanding, raising the standards of Malika to require a Kohen. Eino Din Sheikvalo Kli, how much more so should the Torah require Kli? Talmud Lomar, Vikrivo HaKohen, El HaMizbech Umolak. In other words, the word HaKohen together with Umolak means that the Malik is from the Gufo Shel Kohen, the Tziporen Shel Kohen. He doesn't need a Kli. Omar Rabbi Akiva, when it says HaKohen, Rabbi Akiva says that it's not coming to teach me, it's not coming to teach me that Malika requires a Kohen. V'chisale al datcha shezar kariv legabim izbeach. In other words, the Torah says in Bamidbar Yeches Ach El Kli HaKodesh the El HaMizbech Lo Yikrivu, and therefore there's no Havamina that a Zar could come to the Mizbech. The El HaMizbech Lo Yikrivu certainly excludes the possibility of the Zar coming to the Mizbech. So there's no question, therefore, that Malika is Bekohen. Again, we're going to have to ask Akasha now on the Reish of the Braisa. The Reish of the Braisa wanted to derive from Shechitas Behema that the Oaf, the Malika's Oaf, could be done by a Zar. But in any event, Rabbi Akiva doesn't accept that. Rabbi Akiva says, Poshut, Milsa Lepshita, that a Zar cannot possibly be acceptable for Malika. And therefore, Elamata, Malomar HaKohen, why did the Torah go out of its way therefore to mention a Kohen? And it says immediately after Zumalak, this is to teach us to take Malika be Atzmo Shel Kohen, meaning be Gufo Shel Kohen, but Tziporin Shel Kohen, and not with a Sakin. Now, we should point out that the Mizbeach, that again, we're talking about Chatasa'of. How do we know Chatasa'of? And that's going to be derived from Xereshova Umolak Umolak between Olasa'of and Chatasa'of. The Brisa continues. How do we know that Malik has to be done on the upper half of the Mizbeach? And this too will be derived from, again, we're talking about Olasa'of, will be derived from this Pasuk. Yochal Yimlekenu Bein Milamala Bein Milamata. Maybe the Torah doesn't stipulate exactly where on the Mizbeach this has to be done. Again, the Mizbeach is split in half. You have the Chelek HaElyon and the Chelek HaTachton with the Chut HaSikra in the middle. And how do we know that Malika requires the Chelek HaElyon? And the Gemara says that for this we need a pasuk, Talmud Lomar, Umolak es Roshav Hiktir HaMizbecha. The Torah establishes a hekesh between Malika and Akhtara. The Akhtara itself is done by Rosh HaMizbeach. That's where the Maroch is, that's where the fire is. Af Malika, Berosh HaMizbeach, which means on the top half of the Mizbeach. Now the Bryce wants to tell me that Malika is from the Oref. I think we called it the Nape, if I remember correctly. Umolak Mimul Oref. It means that he should perform the Malika on the bird's head at the Nape. Okay, that's what we said is the Oref. And how do we know this? The Torah doesn't specify that it's on the back of the head with regard to an Ola. In the case of a Chatas Ha'ov, in Vayikra Hey, there it says explicitly that the Malika has to be from the back of the bird, back of the head of the bird. And the Gemara now establishes that we have to introduce a Gzera Shava. Ata Omer Mimul Oref O Eino Ela Minat Savor, maybe be from the front. Dinu Nemar Kan, in the case of Ol Sof, it says Umolak, Venemar Lahalan in Chata Sof, it says Umolak, Mal Lahalan Chata Sof, Mimul Oref. Is Afkan Mimul Oref. So here the words Vidinu is not, sometimes we see Vidinu in a Braisa is just referring to the Havmin and before the Xeris, because here the Vidinu is telling me the Maskana that we're going to derive Malika in Olas Ha'of Mimul Ha'oref from Malik in Chatas Ha'of, where the Torah says in Vayikra Hey Umolak. Now, in the case of Malikas Olas Ha'of, we require two simonim. In the case of Haktorah, we say that there's going to be a Haktorah of the Rosh, and then Haktorah of the Guf. That's what we saw in the last mission, in this past mission that we're studying now. E Mala Halan, shall we say that just like in the case of Chatas Ha'of Molek, all you do is Malik on Simon Echad, you choose either the Kon of the Vesha, Vieno Mavdil, you don't decapitate the Yov in the case of Chatas Ha'of. Is Afkar, I might think, since we have a Gzer Shava, then the Velo Yavdil of Chatas Ha'of should apply also to Olas Ha'of. Molek Simon Echad Vieno Mavdil, Tamad Lomer Molak Es Rosho Vehiktir HaMizbecha. So here we have the other Hekesh between Malik and Akhtara. Mak Torah, just like in the case of Mak Torah, when he's marked to the Rosh Liatzmo, Vesaguf Liatzmo, which means therefore that he has to decapitate the Olas Ha'of, is Af Malika, is a Rosh Liatzmo, Vehaguf Liatzmo. In the case of Olas Ha'of, the Malika, which means, you know, putting his thumbnail in the back of the neck, is going to be to split the two, the Rosh from the Guf. Again, does it mean he has to completely separate it, or just he has to cut two simonim? That's machlokes rishonim that we spoke about back on Daf Samach Dalet. Uminayin shaktoras harosh biatzmo v'haktoras haguf biatzmo shenemar, because the pasuk says at the beginning of Vayikra, it says v'shisa oso b'chnafav lo yavdil. Victiroso hakoin amizbecha. Hare aktora saguf amura. So now the Torah says that he has to be marked to the guf. And that's victiroso hamani makayim victir hamizbecha. In other words, there's a double language over here, that aktora that's mentioned in the earlier psukim. And here it says, Umolak es Rosh v'hikter hamizbecha. Why the double language? Why the repetition? It must be the Akhtaras HaRosh HaKosav Medaber. And this is teaching us that he's marked to the Rosh separately and the Guf separately. We continue on in the Pasuk, in the Braisa, dashening the mitzvah of mitzvah adam. It doesn't apply to all the dam in the oaf, when you squeeze out the dam. So the Pasuk says, v'nimtza damo, it doesn't say mi damo. Elsewhere in the Torah, it says mi damo. Here it says damo, and that teaches us kulo, that all the blood of this ola bird has to be squeezed out onto the kir hamizbech. The Braisa now wants to know, where is the place of mitzui? Is it on the bottom half or the top half of the mizbech? El kir hamizbech, v'lo al kir hakevesh, v'lo al kir hahechal. So we're talking about not the, in other words, the dam has to be squeezed on the wall of the mizbech, not on the wall of the ramp, not on the wall of the heichal, the ezeh zeh, which is the wall of the mizbeach, al-kir mizbeach, zekir elyon. This is referring to the top half of the mizbeach. Ho eino el-kir ha-tachton. You might have a havamina that you should squeeze the dam onto the lower part of the kir ha-mizbeach. Vidinu. And there's a Kal v'chomer that should teach us that the mitzvah adam should be lamata. Ma behema she, we're talking about the dam of chatos of chatos behema, is sprinkled on the mizbech lamala, is olasa, and yet a korban ola is lamata, of in other words, since chatos in the case of an oaf is lamata, then how much more so ola should be lamata? And how do we know that chatos is more chomerdik than ola? Because in the case of a behema, the halach is that chatos requires lamala, whereas ola is lamata. So the Torah is more machmir on chatos requiring lamala. In the case of oaf, if chatos is lamata, then it means that certainly in the case of ola, which is more kal, it's lamata. So the Torah lowered, in a sense, the standard in the case of mitzi adam comparing to a behema, and it went from, let's say, in the chatos behema, which is lamala, to in the case of chatos oaf, which is lamata. So therefore, it makes sense for sure that in the case of the ola, meaning the ola sa'of, it should be lamata tamalomar. The pasuk says, "Umolak es rosho vehiktir hamizbecha v'nimtza domo al kir hamizbeach." And the Braisa now analyzes this pasuk. What's difficult about this pasuk? V'chisala al datcha shaliachar shehiktir chozer umematze. It sounds like, in the sequence of the words of the Pasuk, the Haktorah comes first, and then the Mitzvah comes second. How is that possible? If there's Haktorah, how does he go back and do the Mitzvah? He already was Machtir. So it's not possible to take this Pasuk and the sequence of the Pasuk literally. Ella, Lomar Lecha, what is this Pasuk coming to teach us? A Hekesh between Mitzvah and Haktorah. And what does this teach us? Mo Haktorah Barosh HaMizbeach. Af mitzui barosh hamizbeach, which means the chelek ha'elyon of the mizbeach. So the Torah mentions the haktorah first, even though it's impossible to imagine that the haktorah came first and then the mitzui, but it's trying to teach us that there's a certain element of haktorah that applies to mitzui as well. And what is that? That just like the haktorah is lamala, just like haktorah is barosh hamizbeach, that's where the marocha is, so to mitzui should be barosh hamizbeach, which means the chelek ha'elyon. Now the Braisa says ha ketzad. So what exactly, in a summary form, is the seder avodas ola sa'ov? Hoya ola, the coin goes up bakevesh uponala sovev, which means he turns towards the sove, which is on the top half of the mizbeach. and that we discussed back on Daf Samach Dalet. Ubolo lekeren dromis mizrachis, which is the south eastern side corner of the Mizbech, that's the closest to the Beis HaDeshen, where he would throw the Mora'ah and the Notzah, as we discussed back on Daf Samach Dalet. And Oya Molek es Rosha Mimul Arpa Umavdil Umematza Midoma Alkir Hamizbeach. Again, the Brisa had established a hekesh between Malik and Akhtara. Just like in Akhtara, you have one on the Rosh and one on the Guf. So too, Malika, you have to separate the Rosh from the Guf. And this halacha mimul arpa we derive from a gzeres shavah techatas ha'of. And that tells me also that the Malika has to be b'tziporan and not b'sakin. So all these dinim are summarized here in the Brisa, and it says Molek es Rosh Mimul Arpa Mavdil, and then Umematza Midoma Alkira Mizbeach, and that we derive from Umolak Vehiktir Vinimtza Domo. There's a Hekeshi Mitzi in Akhtara, that Mitzi is done Be Rosho Shel Mizbeach. Now, before we get to Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov, let's just point out that the Mitzui, when he squeezes out the dam, is Al-Kir HaMizbeach. And what we said earlier is, in this Braisa, is that all the dam has to be squeezed out. So that's, don't take the word Midama to mean part of its dam. And again, this whole procedure, as it's described here in the Braisa, we saw in the Mishnah back on Samach Dalet Amid Beis. Now we have the following. Imasa'a lemata meraglov. In other words, he did the squeezing of the blood, the mitzvah adam, an ama below his feet is kshera. And this means that if he's on the sovev, he's on the surrounding ledge, that's where the kohen stands, and that's one amma above the chuta sikra, the kohen can stoop down, he can do the mitzi adam against the kira mizbeach, up to one amma below his feet. And still, he's mekayim the mitzvah mitzi adam on the chelek ha'elyon of the mizbeach. Now, again, in the Hebrew, he says, "Chetzio elyon shel mizbech maskil mi oma shetachas hasovev." The sovev was at a height above the ground level of six amos. The gov of mizbech, in its entirety, was 10 amos. Therefore, the makom of chatzi hamizbech is at the gova of chamesh amos, which is a distance of one amma from the sovev, klapimata, going towards the bottom. So therefore, the kohen could stand on the sovev and do the mitzi adam one amma below him, below his feet. Rabbi Nechemia v'Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov omrim. Well, you know what I said before, that was the Mitzui. That's true, but it also applies to the Malika. That also could be Kshera in that spot. Let me not mention, fail to mention that. Now we have two Tanoim. Both of them say the following. Kol Atzma, we're talking about Olas Ha'of now. Atzma means, I guess you would say, the essence of the Hakrova, of the Olas Ha'of, Ein Nases El Berosh HaMizbeach. He should not entertain the possibility of doing this below the Sovev, but rather he should do it on Rosh HaMizbeach, Now that doesn't sound like the Tanakhama that we just learned, who allowed the Kohen to stand on the Sovev, and he should like bend down, and he could lower his arms by an Amma, so then he's underneath the Sovev, whereas here, Rav Nechemi and Rav Leza, they're talking about Eino Nasis El Barosh HaMizbeach, but not Tachas HaSovev. So my Beinayu, what is the machlokis here between the Tanakama on the one hand and Rav Nechemi and Rav Yules on the other hand? And again, the sheet of Rav Nechemi and Rav Yulezer is based on the pasuk Umolach v'hiktir v'nimtza. This is a hekesh of all the asiyas of the Olatak Torah, which is done b'rosh hamizbeach. It's not done on the sovev or underneath the sovev. Is my benai? What is the yisod of the machlokes? Everybody agrees that the malik and the mitzui should be done on Rosh HaMizbeach. That we derive from a Hekesh. Tak Torah. So what are the different stodim in this machlokes, whether or not you could be mematze underneath the Sovev or not? Abai v'rov the amitravayu. Osa maroch al gabi Sovev iko benayhu. The machlokes depends on this issue. Is it possible to put the maroch on top of the Sovev and be machtir on top of this maroch, on top of the sovev? According to the Tanakhama, you could do such a thing. You could make the maroch on top of the sovev, and therefore that's considered a makom haktorah. So you could do the ola in the amah that's below it, because that's very close to the makom haktorah. But Rabbi Nechemi and Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov are of the opinion that you cannot set up a maroch on top of the sovev. That's not called a makom haktorah, and therefore you cannot do the ola in the ama smuchel sovev. So let's just summarize the point of disagreement here between Rav Nechemi Rav Elezer on the one hand and Chachamim on the other hand. We're talking about the issue of a marocha al gabe hasovev. According to Tanakhama, it's okay. Again, the Ravid seems to say that's only in the case of need, but you're allowed to do the marocha for burning all the karbanos on the top of this ledge, which we call the sovev, and therefore you could squeeze out the dam of Ola Sa'ov below the sovev, because that's the area of the Mizbeach where the Haktorah is going to take place. But Rav Nechemi and Rav Lezer are of the opinion that there's no marocha on the sovev. All the burning of the karbanos has to be on the top of the Mizbeach, so the Mitzvah Adam, which has to be done near the place of the Haktorah, has to be done on the top part of the upper wall and not on the ledge. Now the Mishnah says Bolo Laguf, when he's ready for the Haktorah of the Guf, the body of the bird, again he's removed the Murasa and Notsasa, the crop and the feathers, and also the Kishkis, the Bnei Me'ayim. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, the Hesir es Murasa binotsasa. What is Murasa? Zu Zefek, that's the crop, as we translate to English, which he says here in the Masifta is a zefik, is a kisui, is a kiss. It's an organ which is suspended between the veshet, which means the esophagus, and the mei, the meayim, which leads the food, which, shall I say, I don't know how you say movil, it leads the food to the kurkavon, that's where the kever, that's where the stomach is. And in the veshet itself, the food comes down, it gets a little bit softer, and it becomes royally equal. It could be digested, it's broken down into a liquid. So that's what we call the zefek. And this crop branches off from the esophagus, midway between the mouth and the stomach. The bird swallows the food whole, undigested. It's stored in the crop until it can descend to the stomach and then down to the gizzard, the corcovo, where the food is broken up into smaller parts. Yachal, I might think, Yakdir besakin vietlenu, he should cut under the skin and take out the crop with a knife, take out the crop. In the that's what we call the makom hazefek, and do it with a sak vietlenu, and take it alone, without the or, without the notzotz, tamalom benotzasa. And what is this pasuk benotzasa telling me? That notel es hanotza ima. He should take the feathers and the skin, which are on the zefek, on the crop, together with it. In other words, he cuts not only the crop itself, but the skin and the feathers that cover it. Abba Yossi ben Chanan Omer, notla venotel kurgavana ima. He takes out not only the crop, and not only the feathers, right, the mora'an, but he also takes the kurkavan together. Now, wait a second. I said that he takes the mora'an and the notza, but if you look carefully, it doesn't seem that that's the case. He doesn't say anything about the notza. It just says, notel kurkavana ima, that together with the zefek, he's taking the kurkavan, which we call the gizzard in English, together with it. In other words, Abba Yossi interprets the word benotzasa, meaning with its gizzard, not with its feathers. In other words, the word nitzo, or nun sadi hei, which is the root of this word, notzasa, means something that's repulsive. In this case, the gizzard, the kurkavan, it contains the digestive food in it. So according to this pshat in the pasuk, the mitzvah is to remove the zefek and the rest of the pipe all the way down to the gizzard, but he doesn't remove the skin and the feathers that cover the zefek. And again, as we said, the language of the word notza comes from the word, the root word notza, which means mos, mius. It's something repulsive. And that's a reference to the kurkavan, according to Yossi, Abba Yossi ben Chanan. The Gemara now brings an additional brisa regarding the way in which you remove the zefek and notzasa. And it says the following, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, we learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, benotzasa, when it says benotzasa in the possessive, haynu benotzah shella, it means you just take out the notza and nothing more than that. The feathers only. And we're talking about the feathers of the zefek, and not any other feathers. There may be feathers that are outside the area of the zefek for sure. Now, how does he do this? How does he successfully remove the zefek with notzasa, with its feathers, but no other feathers? He says, kodra besakin kimin aruba. He cuts like a hole out around the zefek in a round shape. So again, this is all that he's doing with a knife in the body of the bird. He's cutting around like a window, a hole for removing the crop, the zefek. And it's kimun aruba. It has like a round sort of shape. Then he removes the R and the notes of shesaviv azefek. In other words, what the Gemara, what the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel is establishing, that if he wouldn't cut out this window-like hole, this koder, then the or would be nimshach achar zefek v'yotzi mimeno. And he writes, shelo kidasa tanakama hasover she'ein tzorch lahakbid b'kach. So in other words, this Tana is makbid. He wants the skin and the feathers that cover the crop, that cover the zefek, to be removed by a cutting out this window-like hole, and that's going to ensure that only the or and the notes on the feathers that actually cover the zefek are removed. The Kohen should not tear the skin and the feathers away with his hand, because then he's going to pull additional skin away as well, whereas the Tanakhama is not makpid on all this. Now, our Mishnah said that the Kohen removes the Zefek and the Notzos and the Bnei Me'ayim that come out with them. Perhaps this is an integration of both the Deah of the Tanakhama and the day of Abba Yossi ben Chanan. In other words, according to Tanakama, notzasa means its feathers. According to Abba Yossi ben Chanan, notzasa means the kurkavon. The Ramban, in his Pirush al Torah, tells us that the Tana of our Mishnah reflects the opinion of Abba Yossi ben Chanan, and the Ramban, and here he's arguing with Rashi, he says that Abba Yossi ben Chanan does not mean to render notzasa as the gizzard, but rather everybody agrees that notzah refers to the feathers that are on the crop. Abba Yossi wants to add that murasa does not refer to the crop specifically, but rather to the entire digestive tract from the crop all the way down to the gizzard. So the Torah is commanding the Kohen to remove the crop, the zefek, with the bnei me'ayim, together with the or and the notzos that cover the zefek. And this is against Rashi in his Pirush al Torah. The Mizrahi, in his commentary on Rashi, gives a whole presentation here to defend the sheet of Rashi. Now at this point we want to turn to Daf Samachei Amud Beis, and we're going to go back to the Mishnah that addresses the question of Shisa velo Hivdil. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa regarding Shisua. Again, Shisua means to tear open the body of the bird, again, without separating two parts of the body. And it says in the Parashah of Olos Ofen Vayikra Aleph, Vishisa oso bichnafav, which again literally means that he shall tear the animal with its wings. Ein shisa el biyad. That this word shisa means shisua, which means to rip it apart or tear it apart by hand. In other words, he's not using any sort of a kli, any sort of a sakin. V'cheinu omer v'yishaseu kishasa hagdi u'me'uma ein biyod. It's a pasuk in Shoftim in Perek Yudalit. And that pasuk tells you that he tore the lion open, and this is a Shimshon HaGibor, he tore the lion open, and as one tears open a kid with nothing in his hand, a gdi, without any knife. So this is the power of Shimshon. He actually was confronted by a lion. He proceeded to tear apart the lion as easy as one tears apart a kid, meaning that he did it with his bare hands. The pasuk says there's nothing in his hand. Uma ein biyado. So we see clearly that the word shasa, which is used here in our pasuk, is used also to describe Shimshon when he tears the lion, and he does so with his bare hands, When the Torah used the word shasa to describe the Kohen that he splits open the olas ha'of, it means he tears it up with his bare hands, not with a knife or any other kli. Now the other part of the Mishnah says, lo hesir es hamura, or hivdil v'chatas lo hivdil v'yola, posul. So it means if he separated the head from the body, in the case of chatos, or in the case of olaf hakert, he did not separate the head from the body, the oaf is, the korban oaf is posul. And the Gemara now makes the following comment by quoting an opinion that disagrees with the din of admission, holds that in the case of chatos, if he did havdola, he did not posul the korban. Masnisin delo k'Rav Elezer b'Rav Shimon, the Mishnah that says that if he separates the body from the head, in the case of chatos ha'of, when he does the malika, that passes the korban, that is against Rav Elezer, who says, D'sani Omer Rav Elezer Rav Shimon, shamati shemavdilin b'chatos ha'of. In other words, that you're allowed to separate the head from the body in the case of a chatos ha'of, and it doesn't passel the korban. So right now what we understand is that Rav Elezer agrees that v'lo yavdil means that you're not allowed to separate the head from the body, but he holds that if one goes ahead with the evan and he separates them, although he violated this prohibition, he's not mechal the korban. And therefore, the Gemara says, Masnisin delo k'Rav Elezer b'Rav Shimon. So Mishnah says that if he separate the head from the body, in the case of chatos ha'of, it's possible. And Rav Elezer says no, even though he violated an isur lav, but nevertheless, the korban is kosher. But my kam miflugi, my beinayu, what does this machlokas depend upon between the Tana of Mishnah and Rav Elezer and Rav Shimon with regarding avdolah b'chatos ha'of? So the Gemara brings four different opinions as to how we can explain this machlokas. Now, as it will become clear from the Gemara, three of the first Amoraim of the four are of the opinion that the Iser of Havdalah is fundamentally rooted in the similarity between Asiyas Chatos and Asiyas Ola, because in the case of an Ola, the Malika is a Malika Muvdeles, whereas the Torah's Makbid in the case of Chatos, that should be different from Ola, and it should be done with a number of different Maisim, which in Ola would not be Kosher. As we said, for example, back on Daf, I don't know if we got to this yet, Chatos Ha'of is, if he does it like the Maisa Ola, it's possible. The Tanav Mishnah, who passels Havdalah, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who's Machshib, are arguing in various other Machlokos regarding the Avodas of Chatos and Ola. And in these issues, the question, the crucial question is, when he's Mavdil in a case of Chatos, does that mean that he's essentially done all the maisim of an ola, and therefore it's possible the Torah's chatos? We have to have a contrast, the difference between chatos and ola. Or shall we say, no, there's still other issues and other, dimensions that cause that the maisa chatos would be different. And there are things that in the maisa chatos that possible be ola, and therefore it's kshera. So to summarize, the first three of the four Amoraim that are going to answer this question might be nice to explain Machlokes Shin Tanakama and Rav Elezer, Rav Shimon, they're all going to say the following, that the Torah was very makpid to contrast between Asiyas Chatos and Asiyas Ola. And what the Tanakhama is going to maintain here is that the Isra Avdolah, in the case of Chatas Of, is to make sure that it's different than the Malikas Of, in the case of an Ola. In other words, in the case of an Ola, we have a Malika Hamavdelis. That's Malika of Ola Sa'of. And now if he's going to go ahead and do a Havdola in the case of Chata Sa'of, then we have a Dimion here between the Asiyas Chatas and Asiyas Ola. The Torah was makbid that the Asiyas Chatas should be different than the Asiyas Ola. The Shita of Rabbi Lezer is going to have to be based on the fact that there are other differences that will still salvage this contrast between the Malika Volosov and the Malika of Chatasov. So let's go through the four opinions. We'll start with Rav Chisda. Omar Rav Chisda, what's the crucial issue here in this machlokes? Is mitzui chatasof ma'akev or eina ma'akev? The root of the machlokes here is in the case of chatasof, when he does the hazah on the mizbeach and then he does mitzui, when he squeezes the dam out onto the mizbeach, the dam then goes down to the yisod. So we had back on Daf Nun Beis a machlokas tanoim and amoroim about whether mitzui is ma'akev or eino ma'akev. And if we apply that here, then we're going to come up with the machlok. Now, again, back on Daf Nun Beis and also in the Ilan Daf Ches, the Gemara is going to interpret the reason why, according to one man, the Omar, mitzui is not ma'akev in chata sa'of, and that's based on a pasuk of hanishar bedam yimotze, which means hanishar yimotze v'she'enu nishar lo yimotze, meaning if there's no dam left over, it's kind of like shirayim. If there's no shirayim, you don't have shvicha. If you don't have extra dam, then you don't do mitzui. That's according to one man, the omen, it's not ma'akev. Now, how does this tie into the machlokes between the Tan of our Mishnah and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon about Avdolah Bechata Sa'of, which, according to the Tanakhama, passels the Karbon? Tanakhama, he passels if you did Avdolah and Chata Sa'of. Sovar Mitzui Chata Sa'of Ma'akev. That means if he doesn't do the Mitzui, then the Chatas is Psula. And therefore, Keva the Mitzui Dam Chatos, in other words, if he already did the mitzvah of the Dam Chatos, and that he had to do, because otherwise nothing to talk about, the whole carbon is a failed enterprise, and then he went ahead and he was Mavdil, is Ka'ovid Maisa Ola Bechatos Ha'of. Meaning, there was mitzvah of the Dam Chatos. And in that sense, the Dam Chatos is identical to the Dam Ha'ola, where you require mitzui. Now, he went ahead and he did not only mitzui in the Dam Chatos, which he had to do, but he also was Mavdil. And that basically identifies, so to speak, the Maisa that he did in this Chatos with the Maisa Ola, in all its Avodos. It's a mirror image of Chatos Ha'of. So the Maisa Ola and Chata Sa'of means that he did all the avodas of the Ola, he did both the Malika and the Mitzui of an Ola, and he did it for the Chatos. Now it's Malika Sa'ola is different from Malika Chatos in that in the case of Ola he does Mavdil. Malika Sa'of, Ola Sa'of is with Havdolah, it's a Malika Mavdelis, as we said before. And now he went ahead and he did a Havdolah in the Chata Sa'of. So by doing that Havdolah in the Chata Sa'of through his Malika, then he really duplicates the same identical Malika that the Torah requires with regard to an Ola. So there's no shinui, there's no contrast between the maisim that he did for the chatas and the maisim that Torah requires for nola, and therefore the chatas is psula. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Savar, mitzui chatas ha'of loma akev, and therefore he can go ahead and do the avdola without the mitzui, and dropping mitzui is not a problem in the case of olas ha'of, and therefore he doesn't do the maisim in ola in a chatas, because in ola is if it's lacking in, if it's absent, he omitted the mitzui, then it's psula. But in the case of chatas ha'ov, the mitzui is not necessary. So he drops the mitzui, and that already clearly demonstrates the difference, the contrast between the chatas and the ola. Now he went ahead and he did avdola, then mechatech basa bi'almahu. In other words, after he does the Avdolah, and he, let's say, overstepped the required bounds of Malika, okay, Mechatech Basa V'Almahu. That's meaningless. And that would not passel the carbon according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So after he did the Avdolah, he didn't do Mitzi Adam. And if he didn't do Mitzi Adam, then that already indicates that this is a Chatos Nanola. He has not duplicated the procedure that is appropriate for an Ola. So therefore, even though he separated the head, that's only a Maisa of Mechatek Basa B'Alma. In other words, it's no longer part of the Hakrov and Ola. And this is where Rashi says, if he wants to separate, he can separate it, but not squeeze out the dam. Notice he has permission to do so, because he didn't do the mitzvah dam. Rava Omar, Rava gives an alternative explanation of the machlokes in our, between our Mishnah and Rav Elazar. Shehiya besimon sheni be'ol sa'of, if he does a shehiyah regarding the second simon, again there are two simonim, and the shehiyah is one of the five psulei shechita. If he doesn't cut both simonim immediately, if he does a shehiyah with a pause between one siman and the other, then the shechita is possible. In the case of shechita, of shechitas chulin, for example, if there was a shehiyah between the first siman and the second siman, the shechita is psul, it's one of the five psuli shechita. In the case of malika, of an ola sa'of, the din is similar to that of shechita, in the sense that he has to do a malika on both simonim. Now, what happens if he does a shehiyah between the first simon and the second simon? And the Gemara is going to explain now that lies at the root of the machlokas, whether or not that's a psul in malika, that's the root of the machlokas here between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar. Let's see how. Tanakama savar. Tanakama Sovar Shehiya Besiman Sheni Biolasov Loma Akev, which means that Afagav de Shia, even though in the case of a Chatos. So what's going on over here? We're trying to compare Chatos and Ola in the case of an oath. And he says the following. Let's go first with the Tanakama Shita. The Tanakama Shita holds that Shehiyah is not Ma'akev in the Karban Ola. And even though he did a Shehiyah, nevertheless, Ka'ovid Maisa Ola Bechatas. In other words, he's repeating the same procedure in the case of the Ola as he would in the case of Chatos. And that's going to passel the Chatos. Now, the point that underlies this whole approach of Rava, this is the underlying principle, and I'm going to say it with a double negative, and then we'll try to sort it out, is that in the case of Chatas Of, he cannot do the Malik of the second Sima without a Shehiyah. There's got to be a Shehiyah. And if you hold that in Olas Ha'of, Shehiyah is not Ma'akev, then when he does the Shehiyah after the first Simon in Chatos, he's doing an identical procedure to that of an Ola. So Tanakam is Sovra Shehiyah b'Simon Sheni b'Olas Ha'of, lo Ma'akev. So that's not a problem. And therefore, even though he does the Shehiyah, then in the case of Chatos, if he does the Shehiyah because he has to do the Shehiyah, as we'll explain in a minute, that is an identical procedure to what happens in the case of Olas Ha'of. He's doing now in the Chatos a Maisa of Ola B'Chatos. And by identifying the two, he passes the Chatos. Now, why is it that a Chatos Ha'of requires, so to speak, Shehiyah? So that's going to be a brisa later on, that Malika, in the case of Chatos Ha'of, requires what's called Chituch Rov HaBosar HaMakif HaSimonim. So in the case of Malika of Chatos Ha'of, he's doing only one Simon, but nevertheless he's also removing the Rov Bosar. And even if there was, even though there's a heter of Havdolah, but he has to be marked in the Chituch of Rov Bosar, which is part of the Malika that he's chayev to do. And only afterwards he can do the Avdolah, but he's already doing a Shehiyah, and that identifies it with Shehiyah of Olas Ha'of. However, in the case of the Sheet of Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon, he holds that Shehiyah b'Siman Sheni in Olas Ha'of is Ma'akev. And therefore, since in the case of Chatos Ha'of he's going to do a Shehiyah between the Simonim, therefore he's doing it in a way that in Ola would be possible with that Shehiyah, therefore he's not duplicating in Chatos, he's not duplicating Chatos in what he would do in Ola. And therefore Avdolah is not going to be a posel, because what are you going to tell me? Well, he did Avdolah in the Chatos Ha'of and it's identical with Ola Ha'of. That's not true, because the difference is such that in the case of Chatos Ha'of, he does a Shehiyah. In the case of Olas Ha'of, he cannot do a Shehiyah, because Shehiyah would be Ma'akev in Olas Ha'of, just like Shehiyah is Ma'akev in a regular Shechit of a Behema, in Behemoth Chulin. And therefore, the Gemara says that since he's not doing a Maisa of Ola, then Avdol itself is Machateich Bosar B'Alma. Which means that when he cuts the second simon of the Chatos Ha'of, and now he's separating the head and the flesh, he's only cutting the flesh. This is not a duplication of the procedure of the carbon ola. Now we're up to the third explanation, the third reconciliation, that's Abaye. Abaye Omar Li Olam, according to Abaye, we're going to hold that Shehiyah b'Siman Sheni b'Olas Ha'of is Ma'akeves, which means that there's not going to be any Shehiyah in the Olas Ha'of. But what's the deal? What's the issue here at stake? Is what we call Chituch Rov HaBosar HaMakif Es HaSimonim. There's Bosar, that, or flesh if you want to call it, that surrounds the neck of the bird, and it's around the simonim. Is it ma'akev? In other words, let's go back to Chatos Ha'of. Is it necessary to cut that basar that surrounds the simonim? And that's Ikuminayu, that's the issue here in the Machlok Shin Tanakama and Rebbe Lozer Reb Shimon. And then Afkamin is going to be as far as Mavdil, Bechatasof, whether it's possible or not. So Rabbi Lazar is like we saw in Rava, that since he does a shehia between the simonim, when he cuts Rav Basar, is therefore lo asa maisa ola v'chatas, because shehia passels the ola sa'of. So therefore, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rav Shimon, when he does the havdol in the chatos, that doesn't make it absolutely similar, identical to the olas ha'of, because there's a difference as far as shehiyah is concerned. Which means that in the case of chatos, there's going to be a shehiyah between the two simona because of the chituch of Rav Basar, and that's antithetical to olas ha'of, because in the case of olas ha'of, shehiyah would passel between the first siman and the second siman. The Tanakhama, on the other hand, holds that chituch berov basar is not necessary. There's no necessity, therefore, to be shoheh in the case of chatosof between one siman and the other. He could do the malika bazecher zeh without any afsaka. And once he does that, then it's identical with olas ha'of. Once the malika is below shehiyah, then he is doing a maisa ola bechatas, and therefore the carbon is pasul. And even if he didn't do that, in other words, let's say he was chotech rov basar and he did a shehiyah between the simon, and we still would pasul the carbon because of exera. Maybe he won't be chotech rov basar, and he won't do the shehiyah, and then nimtza that what he's doing is maisa ola b'chatos. Now, the machlokas between Abai v'Rav about the interpretation, the explanation of the shitos of Tanakhama Rabbi Lazar is already an earlier machlokas, b'plukta d'Rabbi Zev Rab Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, chad omar shehiyah b'siman sheni b'ola sa'of ma'akev. And that's the issue that divides the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. And that reflects the sheet of Rava. And the other opinion was Chad Omar Sherov Basam Yaakov Ikubinayim. That reflects the opinion of Abaye. The Gemara now clarifies the din of Rov Basar. And the Gemara says the following. If there's a machlokes where the chituch of Rov Basar is ma'akev mechlal debe'inan Rov Basar betchilo, that lechatchilo everybody agrees that there should be a chituch of Rov Basar. The question is it ma'akev even b'di'evet? So the Gemara says the following. This is absolutely true. L'chatchil, everybody agrees that there's a requirement of chituch rov basar. Basanya, and here basanya doesn't mean isn't there a b'raisa that contradicts, but rather, and this is exactly what we learned in a b'raisa, ketzad molkim chatos ha'of. And this b'raisa describes or details the malik of chatos ha'ov. Chotech, the Kohen cuts shidra umafrekes below rov basar. So he starts the process by cutting through what we call the shidra, which is in English translated as the spinal cord, and the mafrekes, which in English is called the neck bone, and he doesn't cut through the greater part of the flesh around the bird's neck. That's at the beginning. And at this point we have what's called the Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai that teaches us that Malika means killing the bird specifically through the cutting of the bird's siman. The Gemara in Chulin states that once the neck bone and the greater part of the flesh around it are cut through, the bird is legally considered dead, even though it thrashes around. that's called a convulsive movement. So therefore, if in the course of the Kohen's Malika, after he cuts the neck bone with his thumbnail, if he would then go ahead and cut the greater part of the flesh around it, the animal would be deemed legally dead before the Kohen even reaches one of the simonim. So therefore, initially, he's not going to cut through the shidra or the mafsekes. Because again, if he did so, then cutting one of the simonim would not qualify as malika because the animal is considered dead already. Therefore, the brisa requires that the Kohen doesn't cut the greater part of the flesh until he reaches one of the two simonim. Achimagil aveshet olakana. He reaches either the esophagus or the windpipe. Higil aveshet olakana chotech simon echad orubo. I'm sorry, he cuts one of the simonim, or at least the majority of one of the two simonim. For rov basar imo, and at the same time, the greater part of the flesh around the neck together with it. So we see from this braisa that malika, in the case of chatas ha'of, as part of l'chatchila, requires that he remove the greater part of the flesh around the neck after cutting the first of the two simon. Uba ola, if it was a chatas ha'ola, shnayim or rov shnayim. First he has to cut two simonim, the veshet and the kon, or at least the greater half of the two simonim. And that's called Rov Shnayim. And the Gemara in Masechta Chulin explains that according to this Braisa, when it says Shnayim or Rov Shnayim, it's meant to reflect two different views. There's one view of Rabbi Lazar, that the Malika of Chatas Ha'of requires that only the Rov of the two Simonim should be cut, whereas the Chachamim say that you have to cut through entirely. Is there going to be chituch rov basar in the case of an olas ha'of? So that's a machlokus between the Ramban and the Bala Ma'or. The Ramban is of the opinion that even in the case of olas ha'of, after he shechs the two simonim, the malik of two simonim, then he's chotech rov basar. According to the Bala Ma'or, there's no such requirement with regard to the olas ha'of. It doesn't require chituch rov basar, it just requires malikas shnei simonim, and that's it. Now there's a braisa brought down in Chulin with the machlok shin chachamim and Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon about the shiur of malikas olas ha'of, which is derived from the pasuk v'krivu, as we mentioned in olas ha'of, that the olas ha'of has a hakrovali atzma, and it's different than chatas ha'of. And the difference is whether there's a malik on two simonim or only on one simon. Chatas ha'of is malik in one simon. Olas ha'of is a malik of two simonim. And Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon in Chulin darshins from a pasuk that there's no difference, I'm sorry, that in the case of olas ha'of, you don't do a complete havdalah, and therefore he holds that you do malika barov shnayim, shnei simonim bilvad. The Gemara now brings a fourth opinion, which is going to disagree with all the amoroim that we had until now. Amrua, in other words, they passed on the presentation of Rav Chisda and Rava and Abaye, Kamei de Rav Yirmia to Rav Yirmia Omar, and he said, Lo Shmielahu, is it possible that you didn't hear or you don't know? Ha di Omar Rav Shimon Bel Yochim Mishum Rav Lozim Ben Pedos Mishum Rav Lozim Ben Shamua. It's amazing how often Rav Lozim shows up here, the name of Lozim. Anyway, and they say the following: Omer Hoya Rabbi Lozer Reb Shimon Shamati Bechatas Ha'ov Shemavdilin. In other words, there's no problem, no objection to doing Avdolah in Chatas Ha'ov. Ay, umay lo yavdil, the Torah says in the Pasuk, not to do Avdolah. It doesn't mean to create an Isur, but rather this means to teach us that ain't tzarich lahavdil. Here we're on daf samach vav omen aleph. That there's no requirement of havdala. Then the chatos is kshera even if he does the havdala, even if he does a maisa ola bechatos, there's no psul. Now the Gemara wants to understand in this frame of reference that Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, he interprets the pasuk that it says in chatos lo yavdil that it's not an isur, but it means ein tzarich lahavdil. Omale Rav Acha b'rei de Rav l'Rav Ashi. If when it says lo yavdil, it's not a prohibition in joining us for avdol, it means you don't have to do avdol im kein. If that be the case, gabi, what's called poseach o kora bar shechayv al nizikav. Let's say, for example, you open a bar or you dig a bar and you chayv finiske a bar dechsivbo. It says in the pasuk in bar in parshas mishpatim v'chiyftach ish bar o ki yichre ish bar. Should we apply the same yards to Kochinami that when it says Veloye Chasenu, it means the Ain Tzarech Lechasos? Obviously, that's not the case. If he dug a bar, he's required to cover the bar. In other words, whenever the Torah says Lo, are you telling me that it means Ain Tzarech? Here it says Veloye Chasenu. Does it mean Ain Tzarech Lechasos? So Gemara answers, Hachi Ashta Hasam, there in the case of the bar, came in the Chsiv, it says right afterwards, Baal HaBar Yishalim, which means for sure that Ilovehu Derami L'Chsuye. If he's going to have to pay for damages, he's responsible to compensate the damaged party, it means that he's obligated to cover the bar. If not so, why is he going to be chayv to pay Nezikin? Obviously, he was a poshea, and he didn't do what he had to do, and he didn't cover the bar. But here in the case of Chatos HaOfer, it says, Lo Yavdil, Michdi, it says, Ksiv, in the parish of Olas HaOfer, it says, Vekrivo, HaKoin Ala Mizbeach, and Vekrivo, which means, Hekrivo, so, it indicates that there's a Krova that's a little different. Mashba Chilek HaKos Ben Chatos HaOf, Li Olas HaOf. And what's it telling us? How are these two karbonos different? Meaning the chatos ha'of eino mavdil and olas ha'of mavdil. And when they dash in this in Masechta Chulin, in the case of an ola, everybody agrees that he has to do avdola. Then lo yavdil, in the case of chatos lomali, what does it mean? Shma mino shein tzarech lahavdil. In other words, if there was an isur to be mavdil in chatos, then Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon would not have a source for the chiyuv havdol in ola. He would only have a heter to be mavdil in the case of ola. He would not have a chiyuv of havdola because we don't have a source that differentiates between ola and chatos to such an extent. But rather, there's some shinu between them, some difference, which would mean either that in Chatos it's also to be Mavdil, in Ola it's Mutter to be Mavdil, or in Chatos he has a Rishus to be Mavdil, in Ola he's Chayev to be Mavdil. And since, according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, in the case of Ola he has a Chayev to be Mavdil, Mimela, in the case of Chatos he has Rishus to be Mavdil. The Gemara is clarifying what brought Rabbi Yirmiya to understand that according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, in Chatos ain't Tzarech Lahavdil. And his proof is that since the svara of Reb Shimon is that in the case of Ola Sof, he's chayev to be mavdil, therefore in the case of Chatos Sof, he doesn't have to be mavdil, he doesn't have that chiyuv. In other words, if lo yavdil can tolerate a pshat that you don't have to do the avdola in a tzarech, and there's no clear-cut source that says that it's also to be mavdil, and again, given the fact that Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon holds that in the case of Ola Sof, he's chayev to be mavdil, then the flip side in the shinui in the case of Chatos Sof would be that he's not chayev to be mavdil. There's no proof that it's also to be mavdil, and therefore let's take the minimum amount of chiddush over here. Now let's try to finish the perek if we can. The Mishnah said that mitzah dam harosh velo mitzah dam haguf psula, meaning that the mitzui in the case of olah self has to be done not only to the rosh but also to the guf. If any of those two are missing, then in the absence of mitzui, the carbon is pasul. Mitzah dam haguf, if he only does the mitzah on the guf but not on the rosh, what's the deal? So first we'll talk about mitzah dam harosh velo mitzah dam haguf. Then the Mishnah says psula. In other words, mitzui dam haguf is critical. Mitzui dam harosh, however, although it's required, is not critical. That's why mitzui dam haguf velo mitzah dam harosh kshera. What's the source for this distinction between mitzui dam harosh on the one hand and mitzui dam haguf on the other? Tanur Rabbanan. In the parasha of Olah Self in Vayuka Aleph, it says Olah Hu. And the Brisa wants to darshan this pasuk of Olah, that it's coming to be marbe. The word Olah is a ribui, and the word Hu is a mute. And therefore we darshan in the following way, Olah. Olah is a ribui, that the carbon is kosher, afal pisha mitzah, dama gufalo mitzah dama rush. And Yochel, I might think that mitzah dama rosh velo mitzah dama guf is kshera, without omitting the mitzah dama guf. Tamar lomer hu. Hu is excluding as a mute and telling us that if he does mitzah dama guf bilvad, then it's kosher. But if he does mitzah dama rosh bilvad, then it's psula. The Gemara now clarifies the style or the method of this drush, of this limud. My Talmudah. How did the Tana of this Braisa derive a ribui in the case of Dama Rosh and a mute in the case of Dama Guf? Why did he turn around the other way around? It's like the Gemara very often has Sumarois. Omaravina Mistabra derove Domin Baguf Shchichi. We should set up the ribui on Dama Guf because the Dama of the Guf is Shchiach. And again, the word shchiach would probably mean that it's the rov dam, the ikar dam, and therefore mistabra the rov dam beguf shchichi, and therefore the ribui is coming to tell us that we must have mitzui of the dam beguf, which is shchichi, which that's the ikar dam, and therefore the miut is coming to exclude the case of Dam Haguf. So the Torah is really telling us that we should give preference to the Dam Haguf over the Dam HaRosh. The Rambam Pirush Mishnayis says, Kvar noda sherov dam hu b'chol haguf v'lo b'rosh. The ikar dam ha-koved v'alev v'agidim ha-yotzu mishneihem. And hu masha omer, that's what the Gemara means, says the Rambam, ha-domim b'guf shchichi. Lachain samach al dam haguf. Therefore, the Torah says that the mitzvah of the dam haguf is sufficient. Hadron alecha, kodshei kodshim. And Amir Tz Hashem, tomorrow we'll start the seventh perek, which is called Chatas Ha'of.